I didn't realize you'd turned it on before. Open your Bibles, if you would, two places. Matthew 26, John chapter 18. Matthew 26, John 18. We are called upon to, sometimes we have to deal with a lot of hardships in this world. Jesus said, in this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Living in this old fallen world, these hardships come, and sometimes they come in form of debts. Some are things that we bring on ourselves, and some things that come unexpectedly. I'm sure if I was asked, most people in this room would have to stand or have to raise your hand and say, yeah, there's been at some given time in my life I've had a financial hardship. And some of you may say, I live with a financial hardship. Some of us go through battles. Sometimes we have battles with other people. Sometimes we have battles with our own families. Sometimes we have battles with our own spouses. Some people think, well, we never have problems. I'd say many of us would not want to broadcast live some of the lively discussions that we've had with some of our spouses at times. We would probably be embarrassed. Should we have those things? Sometimes we, and by the way, I'm not encouraging those things. Sometimes it's illnesses, hardships, things that comes in our life. We are told to make the best out of the situations. There's two ways in which we make the best out of situations. We make it our way, the world way, or we make it God's way. And tonight I want to look at a couple things that I hope to be able to learn a lesson. Look, if you would, in Matthew chapter 26. Beginning in verse number 46. Now take note that in verse 17 on down through about 30, it's when the Lord had the Last Supper with his disciples. They were eating the Passover and he had the Last Supper. Then, of course, verse 31 through 35, Peter denial. And so Jesus told him that he would deny him because he denied that he would forsake him. Then verse 36 on down through 41, Jesus coming to the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus is praying while the disciples keep sleeping. So now, while they're in the garden, and each time he's asked them to watch and pray, they fell asleep. Now in verse 45, then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now, take your rest, behold the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Verse 47. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand, drew his sword, and struck a servant of the high priest, and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, put up thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? And in that same hour, said Jesus to the multitudes, are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me, but all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Now keep your finger there a moment and go over in the book of John, chapter number 18. In John chapter 18, notice if you would, in verse number 4. Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon as he had said unto them, I am he, notice, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, whom seek ye? Now, let me stop right here and say this. If I was there to arrest some guy, and he opened his mouth and spake, I am he, and the force of his words knocked me to the ground, and he asked me a second time who I'm seeking, I'd say nobody. And I'd leave and go back home. But these guys wasn't very smart. And so the Bible says, and Jesus answered, verse 7, then asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it. Now I want you to know this difference here. Over in Matthew, didn't mention who it was, just one that was with him. Mark didn't mention the name of the disciple. Luke, all four gospels recorded the fact that this servant got his ear cut off. Luke did not mention who it was that cut his ear off. John is the only one who calls him by name. Some people says, why? Well, it may very well be that John wrote his gospel later than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Peter was dead then, and there was no retaliation that they could do against Peter. And so, of course, it would have been common knowledge who had cut the ear off. And at the time, they probably didn't know who it was. I don't know if that's true or if that's reason, but anyway, John is the only one that was written later on, was the only one that mentioned Peter's name. Look back, if you would, in verse 10. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the right high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Again, he refers to the name of the servant that got his ear cut off. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Look back, if you would, in Matthew, and I want to share with you a few things. Now, some people said, well, why did he speak to them and knock them down to the ground? Number one, and also, why did he reach down and pick up the ear of Malchus and stick it back on his head and heal him? Number one, it was for the mob that had come to get him, that they might know that he is the Messiah, he is the Son of God. No one left that day in that mob with an excuse that they did not know that there was something unusual about this man. Have you ever seen anybody speak and knock people to the ground? Have you ever seen anybody cut somebody's ear off and him reach down on the ground and pick it up and stick it back on and heal it? I think if you'd seen that, you wouldn't recognize there's something special about this guy. Besides all the miracles that this mob already had heard that he had done, it was also for the disciples' sake. The disciples was fixing to face something they had never faced. Life without Jesus present with them. What are they going to do? They're going to have courage. Peter's done said just a few minutes ago in Matthew, he said, others may forsake you, Lord, but not me. I'll go to prison or death over you. You know what happened whenever it come time and they grabbed Jesus and whenever they put Jesus and bound him, he fled. It was for the disciples' sake. The disciples should have had no worries whatsoever in that situation. They saw the power that Jesus had. And if he could put them on the ground with his voice, he could have kept them from doing anything that he wanted them to keep them from doing. They had no fear or no reason to fear. Even though they feared and they fled, they had no reason to fear. And it is for our sake. Listen to me. Many times we are afraid when we don't need to be afraid. We are fearful of what may happen. And tonight I want to use this story as it relates in Matthew, and I want to look at four or five things about how to deal with difficult things in life and how not to deal with them. And so I want you to understand that in looking at this, it's an unusual time. I want to look at Judas and see a couple examples that Judas left us. I want to look at the mob. I want to look at Peter and disciples. I want to look at Jesus. And hopefully we can learn some lessons about how to deal with certain difficult situations. Now listen to me, it'll help you. We bring a lot of pain and grief on ourselves by being afraid. Somebody said, I'm not afraid of anything. Well, not while you're on the mountain. But when you get in the valley and it gets dark, sometimes you get a little fearful. Do we have reason to be? Every time we turn in the Bible, we find two little words, fear not. Let me show you some reasons. Stay with me just a moment, if you would. And by the way, I want you to understand, the Bible was specific about this ear, and we'll get back to that in a moment, is his right ear. And the fact that the sad part about it was Caiaphas, the high priest. It was his servants. Now, Caiaphas, we find that he had prophesied something about Jesus. If you would, keep your finger there in Matthew and turn with me to John chapter 11. And notice what he had prophesied about Jesus, even though he was a high priest and he was an ungodly man. But he didn't know how truthful it was what he said. And Jesus was going to be brought before him after this matter, but this was before he cut off his servant's ear. Notice in chapter 11, verse number 49. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and that not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. In other words, he had proclaimed that Jesus was the one that was going to have to die for not only the nation of Israel, but for all people. And he would bring everybody together through his death. Now, Caiaphas didn't know exactly what he was dealing with and talking about. As a matter of fact, and then when they brought Jesus back, now you know his servant, and you know those men that was with him, you know humankind, you have no doubt that the first thing they did when they brought Jesus to Caiaphas is they told him, you won't believe what happened tonight. One of his servants grabbed his sword and cut my right ear off, and this man reached down and picked it up and put it back on. But look here. History or scripture does not declare that any of those people in that mob was influenced one bit by what Jesus did. Caiaphas was not influenced by what Jesus did. Even though it was a great miracle that he did. So turn back in your Bible just a moment. And let's look at four or five things real quickly. First of all, let's look at Judas. Now, last time we saw Judas was in the upper room. And you remember the story how he was in the upper room. And yes, he was one. Now, he was one of the 12 that Jesus chose. Now listen to me. Let me share something with you. I believe Judas fulfills a great role in the future. But I'm not going to get into that tonight. But Judas was one of the 12 that Jesus chose. Jesus was not deceived. He knew that he chose a devil from the beginning. But Judas did not know that he was a devil. Stay with me a minute. Everybody listen to me? Judas felt just as normal as anybody else did. But Judas also went about, the Bible said that his disciples, they went about healing and doing all those things. So was Judas one that did that? Look, if you would, in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, stay with me a minute. I want to build a little groundwork, and I'll get on with this here in just a second. Matthew chapter 10. Notice if you would, I believe this is verse 5 I was looking at earlier. It says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out the devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. Let me ask you this. Do you think Judas did any of those things? It said the 12. He was one of the 12. Jesus said a little earlier before this, in chapter 7 of Matthew, he said, there will be many in that day that will say unto me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name, cast out devils, and do many wonderful works? And I'll say unto them, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Now please listen to me. Do I believe that lost people can be used to do things, great things? If God wants to do that, he can. Now, Judas was one of the 12. He was such a good fit in the 12 that sitting there at that Last Supper before Jesus had the Lord's Supper with his disciples, they were eating a Passover supper, and he told them that one sitting there would betray them. And each one of them began to say, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? Therefore, it told us that they were not aware, pay attention to me, guys, they were not aware of who it was that was going to betray. Judas fit in with them. Now, you find in watching Judas's action behind the scene a time or two, Judas was very concerned about money. As a matter of fact, whenever Jesus told him to have him sit down and he's going to feed them, and how much money they have, and he tried to discourage it. He wanted to save money. Jesus was all about money. Now, so when you find and you look on, we find that Judas here, before they did the Lord's Supper, Judas got up and left. Because he said the same one that sopped, that would take and sop in the bowl. And Judas got up and left when he said that. And then he went out and he betrayed him. And why did he betray him? Was it because he was jealous of the other disciples? Now remember, Judas is probably not feeling like a devil right now, even though we know that he was a devil from the beginning. There's a lot of evil people that don't know how evil they are. You follow me? And sometimes you can't convince them that they're evil. You think, well, anybody that evil knows they're evil. That's not true. Judas there, he may have been jealous of the disciples. It may be that he was disappointed that Jesus was going to die. Here he had give all and left and give up all and followed Jesus for 3 years. And now instead of bringing the kingdom in, and he may have been doing it purely to be part of the kingdom, he may have heard about the kingdom is fixing to come and thinking that this might be the Messiah and thinking he would get in on the first rail of the kingdom. I don't know. And it may be that he was mad because Jesus is going to die and he had gave all, and now he gave up all and he didn't have nothing to show for it. So it might be in his best interest, go get 30 pieces of silver. Now he didn't realize this, but God had already prophesied that he would betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. You know why? Because God knew all things. Jesus knew who it was that was going to betray him. He knew it. Now, I don't believe that Judas was there for the whole 3 years thinking, I'm going to betray this man quick so I get a chance. I believe that he thought he was a disciple. But I believe there was an opportunity that arose that he betrayed him. Now, then he went out for 30 pieces of silver and he sold Jesus out. Now, what you need to understand is this. You need to understand that when you have situations, as a matter of fact, just turn places with me real quickly. Look in Matthew chapter 7. When you have, listen to me, I told you sometimes we all have times when we have difficult. Sometimes finances get tight. Let me ask you a question. What do you do when finances get tight? The problem with this generation is this. They've made it too easy to go out and borrow and borrow and borrow and borrow and borrow. And so it just seems like easy, give me a piece of plastic and I'll just charge money I know I'm not going to ever pay back. But that's not what God will have you do. Sometimes what we do is we go about doing things the wrong way whenever we get in financial issues. I've had people tell me, well, preacher, I used to tithe, but I don't tithe anymore because money's got so tight. Do you think that's God's will in your life? You think it's God's will that you should cheat, steal, embezzle? How about just asking God? Look, if you would, in two places real quickly. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verse number 9. Or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Let me ask you this. How many of you here... if your children said and come said, I'm really hungry, I need something to eat, would you give a stone and say, eat that? Let's see your hands. Look in verse 10. Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? How about verse 11? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that what? When you get in financial issues, do you ever think about asking God? You ever consider that? Look, if you would, in chapter 6. Chapter 6. Look, if you would, in verse number 19. Lay not up yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break in through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now flip on over, if you would. Look, if you would, in 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Look on down, if you would, in verse number 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Listen. If you're able, if you would give, and what would you not give your children if they were hungry and in a bind? Well, Jesus just asked the same question. Don't you think God's better than you? And if you need something, how about going to God with it instead of going to all these other sources that is not what his will would be for you? Look on. Go turn back, if you would, to Matthew 26 real quickly. Then you find the crowd. Here he followed the crowd, and Judas, he left the disciples. And who did he join up with? He joined up with the world. And here he was with the world. He was running with the world. And here he came up to the garden with the world. The priests, they come up with staves and so forth. And he returned with a mob. Now, what was his problem? Why was he there? And so, what we find is, we find that when he come here, he decided that he would just choose to follow the ways of the world instead of continuing with Jesus. How many times of us, when we get in a little tough spot, we start running with the wrong people, going to wrong places, and leaving the Lord? Look on, real quickly. Next, notice what Peter does. Peter, he grabs a sword. Where did he get a sword at? Well, the Bible tells us, and I believe it's Luke 22, I believe. Let me look. Luke 22, look there just a moment. In Luke chapter 22, he was a fisherman. What was he doing with a sword? Jesus and them was get fixed and go out, and notice what they say. Luke 22, verse number 38. He said, and they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. Why would they carry swords? Well, they carried swords for wild beasts, thieves, robbers, if they had to. Jesus didn't need them. But evidently among them, as they traveled, they carried a couple swords. Peter happened to have it that night. Maybe Peter carried it all the time since he was so brass about things. But the moment the mob came up, He asked in one of the Gospels, Lord, what would you have us do? And before he even got an answer, he cut his ear off. And by the way, he wasn't going for his ear. He was going for his head, no doubt. He thought that he would just kill him and take vengeance. And so Jesus told him, he said, put your sword up. If you use a sword, you die by a sword. Now, are you listening to me a minute? I'm trying to help you if you listen a minute. Because what happens is when we get in a tough spot, we make the terrible wrong choices and it destroys us. If you take vengeance upon yourself, somebody says something to you, you say something back. Somebody does something to you, you do something back. Somebody draws a sword, you draw a sword. That's not God's way. And God and Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, if you're going to use a sword, you're going to die by a sword. Put your sword up. And he reached down, he picked up his ear, and he put it back on. You see, and Jesus told him, look back in your Bible a moment, and notice what Jesus told him. He told him in verse number 53, chapter 26 of Matthew, he says, thinkest thou not that I cannot pray to my Father, and he will shall presently give me what? More than what? You know what a legion was? 6,000. You know what 12 of them is? 78. More than 78 legions, or more than 78,000 angels. Now, one angel in the Bible killed 138,000 people. Imagine what 78,000 angels could do. If you use that multiplication, they could kill 5 billion, whatever. 5 billion is the world's population. Now get this a minute. Peter grabbed that sword. They come and he cut their ear off. Jesus said, put your sword up. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. He reached down, he picked the ear up, he put the ear back on. He said, don't you know? All I got to do is ask, and my Father sent 12 legions of angels. He'll destroy this whole world. And by the way, the angels was probably wanting to come and destroy the world. They didn't understand everything about salvation. His Father did. His Father asked him to come down here and do something, and it was his will and that cup that he go to cross Calvary. But the angels did not understand that. And I just imagine the way they worshiped him in heaven, and they saw the way men was mistreating him. I bet they were busting a gut wanting to come down here and wipe mankind off face of the earth by what they were doing to their Savior, their Lord, their Master, their Creator. And Jesus said, don't you know? 12 legions of angels. Now please listen to me a minute. Is it God's will that you strike the same way they strike you? If not, isn't it comforting to know that God can do whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do to people? Let God take care of those people. You understand? Now, I believe in self-defense. I believe if somebody came in here carrying a gun, I probably wouldn't ask questions. I'd shoot them. If they're carrying a gun through that door, they're probably coming in the wrong way and wrong kind. I figure if I wait long enough to ask questions, they'll shoot me. Somebody said, well, isn't that living with a sword? No, that's protecting. But when we have the opportunity, we're not. Now, he already told them what the will of God was, and yet they want to interrupt the will of God, and he done told them. He'd been praying, but they had been sleeping and not listening. So here, he told them, don't you know I can send 12 legions? So I want you to understand something. When you get into one of frustrations about something, instead of taking it upon yourself to give a tit for a tat, why don't you take it to God? And understand that he's got more, he can call more than 12 legions of angels, do whatever he wants to do. Then look real quickly. Then when the going got rough, the disciples, instead of standing, they fled. But don't feel bad, we run from a lot of things too. But you know, they were just fulfilling. The Bible said they did that, that scripture may be fulfilled. You know, the amazing thing was this. Now listen to me real quickly. I'm fixing clothes. The amazing thing was this. During this period of time, this scripture I just read, there was scripture after scripture after scripture being fulfilled that had been wrote thousands of years ago. Judas didn't know that he was the one that was fulfilling Scripture wrote thousands of years ago, that he would sell Jesus for 30 pieces of silver and betray him. He didn't know he was the one, and God didn't make him do that, but through his choices, he did it because God knew he would do it because he would make the wrong choices. And so therefore, he wrote it. He knew that the disciples there, when he wrote in Zechariah, when you slay the sheep or a shepherd, the sheep shall scatter. Guess what? God knew that was going to happen. Did they have a choice? They had a choice. But what does that tell us? That tells us that nothing surprises our God. You say, I didn't see that coming. He did. He knows everything. He knows what's going to happen. So let me ask you this. When you get afraid and don't know what to do and you want to run, isn't it comforting just to know and trust God that knows all things? And quit being so scared. Last but not least, let me give you this, and I'll close. There was one that set a good example. You know who it was? It was Jesus. He came and he said, if you look down, he said that in verse 56, but all this was done that scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. You see, what he was doing was in the garden. Remember what he did just a few minutes ago in the garden before all this took place? He's over here praying, told his disciples to watch him pray. They kept falling asleep. And you remember what he prayed as he was so praying so intently? Lord, if it be possible, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from before me. But yet, not my will, but what? Thine be done. Listen to me a minute. In this world, you're going to have people that betrays you, hurts you, wants to fight you, wants to argue with you. There are going to be tough times financially, tough times physically. There's going to be tough, but can't you see in all this, all those things? Can't you see the Lord is Lord of all that kind of stuff? And we don't have to fear. But I also want you to see this. Many times when we do look upon it with just natural eyes instead of spiritual eyes, we make the wrong choices and decisions. Then we have to live in it. Have you ever lost your temper? I went through and asked you if you ever lost your temper. If I start through here, if I ask Greg if you ever lost your temper, do I need to ask him? I don't need to ask him that. That'd be pride. If I ask Jackie, you don't want me to do that either. Okay, look here. But as we go through life, have you ever done something and wish you could ever take it back? What I'm trying to get you across to see is this. There is a better way of doing it, which is God's way. And we can see that God has control of all these things. And sometimes we make plumb fools out of ourselves because we take our eyes off who he really is and what he can really do. And we start getting afraid of everything else around us. We need to be careful. Amen. Let's stand.